Golden State Media Concepts bring you the Bible Study Podcast. Reflect and journey the Bible as together we study God's Word and be inspired. Bible study made fun and informative for all ages. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast.
Thank you for tuning into the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. I am your host, Sarah, and today is Wednesday, April 19th. It is the Wednesday after Easter, so this is the concluding fourth part of our four-part episode on the lectionary texts that were assigned for Easter Sunday, April 16th, 2017. As I mentioned in the other parts of this episode, the lectionary texts assigned for this week are a little bit different because of the season of Easter. Normally, we have a text from the Old Testament, one from the Psalms, one from the New Testament, and one from the Gospels. But since this is Easter, they do things a little differently in terms of the assigned texts. And so today we have the second of our two New Testament texts. We had the first text from the book of Acts, chapter 10, on Monday, and now today we have the second, the normally assigned New Testament text, and that is from the book of Colossians, chapter 3. So I hope you're having a really wonderful Easter week. I hope your Easter celebration was celebratory and full of the promises of the resurrection, wherever you are and however you celebrate. If you celebrate with a sunrise service, or if you celebrated with a later service, or just, you know, with your family, with your friends, however you celebrated, I hope it was wonderful. I hope you found joy in the promises of the resurrection, and we are going to continue talking about the themes that have been going on in this episode, this four-part episode. So let's get right to that, and we will be reading the text from Colossians, which is Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. So again, that was the second New Testament reading assigned for this week. It was from Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, a pretty brief reading. A little context, Paul is writing this to the church at Colossae, and as always, Paul's writing in a specific context. So he is writing, usually he writes in response to a specific issue that's been going on in the church. So just a little more context on the book of Colossians. It is, again, a letter written by Paul, apparently written from prison to the Christians living in the town of Colossae. And some scholars think that perhaps Paul did not actually write this letter because its style, wording, and theology are a little bit different from Paul's other letters. And I've spoken about this before. It's been a while, but there's always scholarly debate on which letters were actually written by Paul and which were written by someone else in the style of Paul. So there's always that debate. We don't really have definitive proof on any of them. We just have to take our cues from the way the book is written, the way the letter is written, the things that it says, the themes that are in there. But regardless of who it's written by, it still has those same Pauline themes, those same, it's written in this style, it's written to address a certain issue in a certain church. So if Paul did write this letter, it was written around 55 BCE. And if it was not Paul, if it was actually a disciple of Paul who wrote the letter, it might have been written about 10 to 20 years later, so 65 to 75 BCE. Colossae was located about 125 miles from the sea in what is now western Turkey, so that gives you the location. Whoever wrote this letter, whether it was Paul or one of his disciples, had not actually been to Colossae, but had heard about the Colossians from a Christian minister named Epaphras. So letters in the ancient world followed a regular pattern, beginning with greetings, and you often hear that. You'll notice as you read through all the epistles that they follow a definite pattern. beginning with greetings and a prayer of thanks. And then the largest part of the letter, of course, is the body, and that's where Paul addresses the issue that he is writing about. And in Colossians, that body has two parts. The first focuses on right and wrong Christian teachings. So chapter 3 is in the beginning of this letter, so it'll be focusing on... Actually, it's in the second part of this letter. Excuse me, I misread that. The second part focuses on right and wrong Christian living. So he moves from Christian teachings to Christian living, and that's in chapters 3 and 4. So, and then the closing in this pattern is a series of greetings and then final thoughts. So this letter emphasizes the important role that Jesus Christ plays in God's plan of salvation and how Christians are fully united with Christ. Apparently there were some false teachers who were claiming that the Colossians were not yet fully united with Christ. They were teaching that the Colossians needed special knowledge and that they must live in a very strict way in order to be fully united with Christ. And if you join me on Tuesday for the letter from the reading from Acts, you'll recognize that this is not the case, that there weren't... There were guidelines. Obviously, there are ways in all of the texts for how we're to live in relationship with each other. But God, in Jesus Christ, made this new covenant, and this new covenant is radically inclusive. So we saw that with the text with Paul and Cornelius, excuse me, Peter and Cornelius, and including the Gentiles. And now Paul is preaching and converting Gentiles. He's creating, he's helping to create communities and churches in Gentile areas. And even though he'd never been here, he still understands, you know, the way the church was set up and how it could be experiencing issues. So these false teachers are trying to tell the community that they are not following the right set of guidelines. So you can see why this letter is then split up into two parts, the right and wrong of Christian teachings. Obviously, they're being led in not a great direction by these false teachers, and the right and wrong of Christian living. So all of this connects together. So the author rejects those claims. He reminds the Colossians that they have already received Christ, so they are continue to live as they have been taught. The foundation for this letter's understanding of God and Jesus is found in chapter 1, verses 15 through 20, and these are a type of hymn, an early hymn, celebrating who Jesus is and what God has done through Jesus. So again, this is just going with all of the themes that I've been talking about in the four parts of this episode. The saving acts of God, the saving acts of Christ, telling the story of Christ, telling the continuing his ministry, talking to people about what it means to be a follower of Christ. What does that mean? How do we act in the world? So Paul writes this letter to the Colossians, or whoever wrote it. We're not going to argue. I'll just say Paul, and you can understand that that may be Paul, or it may have been someone else. It doesn't really matter. It still gives us this story of the church at Colossians who were having some difficulty with teachers who were trying to give them false information. And so Paul, as a pastor, as a minister, as someone who cared about this congregation, even though he had never actually been there, hadn't actually met them, he was concerned for them because he wanted them to know the true story of Christ as he had experienced it, as the disciples had experienced it. He didn't want these people living under this false impression that they had to strictly adhere to a certain set of exact rules that they had to follow because they have been united with Christ. They have been united with Christ through Christ's death and resurrection, just as we have. We've been given that gift. We've been given the gift of grace, which means that nothing can separate us from the love of God that has been shown to us through Jesus. So we're going to talk more about these verses and more about the church in Colossae, but we are going to take a quick break, so please stay tuned, and I will be right back.
Want to find out what movies to go see? Then check out the GSMC Movie Podcast. It's your ticket to the latest movies, whether it's a new blockbuster event, romantic, comedy, or action flick. This show has got it all covered. They talk some what to go see now. Don't bother. What's hot on Netflix and everything in between? That's gsmcpodcast.com/movie-podcast. When it's all about the movies, it has to be this new show. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. Before the break, I was talking about a little bit of context for the book of Colossians and the text that we are reading today, which is from Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. And one thing that I would like to point out is that first verse that starts out, "So if you have been raised with Christ, seek things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God." And we hear this a lot after Christ was raised from the dead and he ascended. It's in a lot of liturgies, Christ seated at the right hand of God. But in light of yesterday's podcast, if you have listened to that, we learned that in the Old Testament, in the Psalms especially, but in other places as well, the right hand of God often referenced or was indicating God's saving acts in the world. So it makes sense that Christ would be described as sitting at the right hand of God, because God's largest, most inclusive act, saving act in history, would be through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So that's something that jumped out at me in this reading that I had not thought of before, but from our discussion yesterday, that popped right out at me. So, I would assume that it ties in Old Testament, New Testament, but we are going to now look at some commentary and see what someone else has to say about all of this. So this commentary comes from Sarah Hinlicky Wilson. And I hope I said that right. Sarah Hinlicky Wilson, I think that's correct. And she's actually an editor at the Lutheran Forum in St. Paul, Minnesota. So she writes that it's Easter Sunday, and there's all of these texts that you can read through, that you can look through, and she says the joy of the gospel texts, or Acts, where Peter summarizes in a mere 10 verses the whole story of Jesus up to that point, including his resurrection, or C, for curt, elusive, poetic, and wrenched out of context verses from Colossians. And she's talking about if you were a preacher and you were trying to decide what to preach on. And of course, Easter Sunday, many people are going to preach on the gospel, right? But we're in luck because we get to do this in four parts. So I get to talk about all of the texts. And for curt, elusive, poetic, and wrenched out of context verses from Colossians. I like her already. She cracks me up in the first paragraph of her commentary. So she says, this snippet of Colossians has, as an Easter text, everything against it. And I don't fully agree that it has everything against it, but I know where she's going with this. So just hear her out. Bear with me. She says, seek the things that are above. This passage sets all of the wrong bells ringing. It sounds Gnostic. And if you know what the word Gnostic is, Gnostic, it's you've heard of the Gnostic Gospels, right? There's Gospels that aren't included in the Bible, and that's because Gnostic is often associated with secret. So secret Gospels. And this ties in, I think, with those false teachers in Colossae who were trying to tell the church that they were doing things wrong, that they needed to adhere to a certain list of teachings, of expectations, that they knew something that the community didn't. Gnostic teachers often portrayed it like that. We know something that you don't, so you need to listen to us so we can steer you in the right direction, which, of course, we know that Christ came for all of us. We have the words right there. We have the story. We know the story. And while we have leaders and commentators and teachers and instructors and friends and family who can all give us insight into the texts, we know that there's nothing that God has hidden from us that we have to do, not some secret list that we have to check off, even though we don't know what it is. There's no one out there who knows that secret list who can tell us so that we will, in fact, be saved, because we have already been saved. We've been saved through Christ's death and resurrection. So, she says it sounds Gnostic. She says, as if we were to eschew the material filth that weighs down our souls and peer into the great ether of Platonic purity. Wow, she has got an amazing vocabulary. It sounds like religiously justified absenteeism from real life, scorning the workaday vocations of family and state and economy to dwell daintily in a celestial starscape. It sounds like the most scorned version of Christianity, pie in the sky, by and by, heavenly hopes, to the exclusion of earthly engagement. Set your mind on things that are above. And this goes back to something that I've actually talked about before, and that is a lot of people have this idea of our lives on earth, and they look to the afterlife. They look to that time when we do get to fulfill the promises that have been made to us and spend eternity with God, with Christ, which sounds amazing, right? And so there's more focus on that than there is on earthly living, on paying attention to our daily vocations, like she says, our family, our friends, our job, our neighbors, all of those things that we do to make the earth that we live on a better place, because we were put here on this earth to carry out God's work in the world. We aren't just put here, as kind of a cosmic waiting room to move on to the next thing. God created us. God created this world. And God wants us to live in this world. God wants us to live with each other. So it's not just about getting through it and moving on. It's about doing God's work, about expressing God's love, showing God's love for this creation, for the creation that God has made. That includes us, that includes the earth, that includes our neighbors, etc. So, of course, she says, none of the foregoing, none of that earlier paragraph is an accurate reading of this portion of Colossians, or of the letter as a whole. It's hard to garner that from these standing verses, though. She says, the immediate run-up to the exhortation to keep your sights set high is a warning against competing forms of false religiosity. So those false teachings that we were talking about earlier. She says, and she's quoting Colossians 2 verse 8 and 2 verse 20 here. She says, in Christ, you died to the elemental spirits of the universe. So why do you carry on living as if you were enslaved to them? Christ redeemed you and forgave you. So why do you keep thinking that mere human commands and teachings, like food and drink, or observing festivals, new moons, or Sabbaths, and all this is from chapter 2, with their appearances of wisdom, count as good religion? The worship of creaturely spirits and blind observance of human traditions are the things that are below. They are the alternatives to the things that are above. So she's just giving us some context here, right? So we know that this book is divided up into two parts. The first part, right and wrong teaching, and that's what verse 2 is talking about, all of these things that all those trappings that we think will be correct, all those things like what she says, the festivals, eating the right food, obeying the human commands and the human teachings, all of those things, the appearance of wisdom, all those things that don't necessarily count as good religions. Those are the trappings of good religion. So that is that first part, the Christian teachings. And where we start is chapter 3, where it moves into the second half of the book, the Christian living. So she goes on to say that things above refers to what comes from the true God, the Father, and his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, in whom we have the forgiveness of sins. So the point of this, she says, is that we should give our attention and worship to the true God instead of pretenders, instead of these false teachers, instead of people who say they have the knowledge, but when we've already been given everything that we need to know. She says, actually, and rather surprisingly, Colossians suggests that heaven and earth were in the same boat, so to speak, because Christ came to reconcile all things, whether on earth or in heaven. He did so not by lordly fiat or a miraculous airlift of the worthy out of the domain of suffering, but by making peace by the blood of his cross, and in his flesh, in his body of flesh, by his death. It says you can't get any more this worldly than a body bleeding to death on a cross. And that is kind of a morbid place to stop. But she's right. You can't get more earthly, more this worldly, more here and now than Good Friday, with Jesus suffering and dying on the cross. And I hate to leave you with that image, but we do have to take another quick break. And when we come back, I promise we'll talk about something a little more cheery than what we're ending on. So stay tuned, and I'll be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching. Hey! The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be, visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. We are talking about the second assigned New Testament text for this week from the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. And we have been talking about a commentary and talking about the commentary and the context of Colossians and looking at this exchange, this first verse that talks about setting your sight on things above, and how is that counter to our life here on earth. And so the way that she concludes her commentary is, she says, a common Easter exchange is Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. And you heard me say that several times on the Sunday podcast. She says a Colossians variation on the theme might be, you have died. You have been raised with Christ, or I have died. I have been raised with Christ. She says both assertions are true in that Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed, or we have died. We have been raised with Christ. So Colossians is about this, she says, stereoscopic vision, double vision that comes from the resurrection. You see yourself as dead, and you equally see yourself as alive. It's one of those paradoxes that I love about Christianity. She says, you carry out the business of this earth in public and in broad daylight, and yet your life is also hidden with Christ in God. When Christ is revealed in his glory, you also will be revealed in the same glory, despite your status as sinner, transferred from the kingdom of darkness. She says, how can you set your mind on the things above while living on the earth? By the double vision of the Christian faith. Faith gives us the lenses to see reality aright and accordingly act obediently and joyfully. So it's this double vision, she calls it, between death and life, and understanding life here, understanding life above, understanding, because we do live with Christ, you know, we know that Christ is here with us, but not. We wait for Christ's return. We look forward to that in Lent, the coming of Christ, because we celebrate Easter every year, but we also celebrate Easter knowing that Christ will in fact come again. So it is the here, now, and the not yet here. So we do have a lot of interesting stereoscopic, as she puts it, double visioned way of seeing things. So Christ, of course, we know, brings death and life. We've talked before about being baptized into the life and death of Christ, because we have died with Christ, but we now live in and with Christ. And this is the basis for the meaning of our lives here on earth, our lives as Christians, our lives as brothers and sisters in the family of God. Seek things that are above. Set your minds on the things that are above. So often, again, we take this to mean as, you know, pay attention, just set your mind on heaven, focus on that, you'll get through here. But that's not exactly what that is. Another commentary that I read this week talks about right in the middle of the two imperatives to seek and to set your minds, Paul identifies above as where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And I mentioned that a little while ago. In doing this, Paul draws attention to Christ's lordship, the one who reigns as Lord of the universe, the one at the center of our seeking, is none other than the crucified Jesus, the image of God who came to renew life. So if we think about it in this way, set your mind on things above, seek the things above. Right in the middle of this is Christ seated at the right hand of God. The right hand of God, those salvific saving acts throughout history. The right hand of God, the comforting, strengthening hand of God. Right between these two imperatives, to seek and to set your minds, is the crucified and risen Christ. So when we set our minds on things above, what we're setting our minds on is the death and resurrection of Christ. We're setting our minds on both death and life. We're setting our minds on those promises that we have been baptized not only into a life like Christ, but also into a death like Christ, and that this is good news. So this lordship of Christ is intimately connected to Paul's reminder that we have been buried and raised with Christ. And this commentary goes on, if we are raised with Christ, then we have died to our old life. We've died to all of the old sinful ways. We should therefore spend no time seeking after things that are under the lordship of the rulers of this earth, whether that's human rulers or human-built kingdoms or those false gods that are everywhere that try to take our attention away from God. What we're to focus on is Christ, the crucified and risen Christ, the Christ in whom we have died and been raised again. And so this letter then really gives us a good insight into that. Paul says that our whole life is hidden with Christ in God, and he gives us the reason for seeking things above. We seek life according to Christ, according to Christ's lordship, as a means, not as a means to get closer to God, but because we don't need that. Christ has already done the work. In Christ, God came to us. We don't need to seek to get closer to God because God has already come as close as possible, sending Jesus, who became human, who lived among us, who gave us these amazing promises, who created a new way of living in relationship with God and with each other. So this commentary concludes that we are not waiting around for Christ to be revealed, and so also for ourselves to be found, as if we are lost in the middle of awaiting the coming of Christ. Our lives are so wrapped up in our union with Christ that where we once were made manifest in all sorts of other pursuits, now we cannot be made manifest apart from the ongoing work of the crucified Lord who reigns, who has been raised for us, and we in him and he in us today. So Easter is all about, again, that joyful celebration, the raising of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, but it's also about us and how we live in this resurrection world, because that's where we live. We live in this here now and not yet world, where we are waiting for the promises to be completely fulfilled with the return of Christ, but we live in this world where we already have been given the most amazing promise that is, and that is the grace through Jesus that we've been given, the salvation that we have been given through Jesus and through his death and resurrection on the cross. So how we live in this world, not just ignoring the world around us, setting our sight on heaven and what's going to happen in the afterlife. No, we set our sights on things above by setting our sights on the crucified Christ, the Christ who came to live among us, to be a servant, to teach and heal, and to give us a new understanding of God's love. And that's how we are called to be in the world also, to live amongst our brothers and sisters, to make our own corner of the world a little bit better in whatever way we can, using the gifts that God has given us. So that is all the time that we have for today. Thank you so much for joining me for this podcast, and if you join me for all four of the parts of this episode, thank you so much. I hope you'll join me next week when we will move on to the texts assigned for the second Sunday in Easter. That will be April 23rd, and we'll be going back to our original schedule, not starting with the gospel, but going in the order of the assigned texts. But again, we won't be starting with Old Testament because we are reading from the book of Acts. So join me next time on Sunday for Acts chapter 2, and we'll be talking more about Acts and the stories of Christ and Christ's work in this world. As always, you can find all of our podcasts at gsmcpodcast.com. You can download the podcast on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and any app you use for your mobile devices. And I would love to hear from you on social media. So come and leave me your comments, leave me your thoughts, leave me whatever you're thinking about. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Tumblr, and Twitter. As always, I look forward to speaking with you again next time. But in the meantime, please remember that you are a beautiful and beloved child of God. See you next time.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.